Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to share our situation with you. And I would suggest maybe it's a case study of an example where there can be a good outcome, or at least progress towards an outcome that's a combination of use of educational and regulatory approaches, which in many cases seems to be working well. I'd like to start by thanking my co-authors, both those who have been involved hands-on in the field, collecting and analyzing data for this project, as well as other faculty collaborators with me. Part of this project emanates from a conservation effects assessment project that we had in Nebraska related to groundwater. The only project, sea project, that I'm aware of that was groundwater oriented. The rest are surface oriented. I'll kind of start with what may be in some respects the bottom line. In Nebraska, on average, as is probably representative of much of the Corn Belt, farmers are using nitrogen fertilizers more and more efficiently all the time. And this graph is an overview of the partial factor productivity, kilograms of grain produced per kilogram of nitrogen in Nebraska over the last 40 years plus. And on average, we continue to be more and more efficient in how we use fertilizers in the state. But this is on average. What we have become more and more interested in then is localized adoption, which is not necessarily as positive as we would like it to be. One advantage that we have in Nebraska, perhaps relative to other states, is our natural resources district system. This system was initiated about 30 years ago. These are watershed-based, 23 entities which have taxation capacity and local regulatory authority. The district that's outlined in the center in blue, light blue here, is the Central Platte Natural Resources District, and it's the target of what I'll be sharing today. It also happens to be kind of a combination of many things that are the worst interface of some of those occurrences in some cases. Intensively irrigated, developed in the early 1950s, continuous corn, very shallow groundwater, in many cases very coarse textured soils. So it can be a matter of a few weeks before fertilizer can enter the groundwater in some of these fields. But we have worked in this district throughout my career in Nebraska to educate and then more recently regulate what farmers are doing in that district. Regulation emanates from these trends. This is a graph of groundwater nitrate concentrations in the Central Platte Valley in 1984. And anything in red is above the drinking water standard of 10 parts per million, or milligrams per liter. So there's an area, if you are familiar with Nebraska, from approximately Kearney to Columbus, right through the heart of the irrigated production area of the valley, that has very high, or did have, and continues to have, relatively high nitrate groundwater concentrations. And because of these trends, we've initiated a number of efforts to address those, both educational and then regulatory. Starting before I was in Nebraska in 1980, there was an EPA-funded water quality special project in Hall County, a subset of that district. And that grew into what is today the Platte Valley Nitrogen and Irrigation Management Demonstration Project. And that is a collaborative effort between the University of Nebraska and the Central Platte Natural Resources District to do demonstrations every year to farmers in that area on practices that can improve efficiency of both fertilizer and irrigation water and minimize nitrate loss to groundwater. In 1988, the state legislature passed regulation which allowed districts to implement local regulation to protect natural resources. And so in 1988, part of this district was the first groundwater quality protection area established in the state because of the widespread intense concern about nitrate in the area in groundwater. And so as part of that regulatory effort starting in 1988, farmers have to do a number of things, and These practices are grouped by the degree of degradation of the groundwater resource. So the entire district, the entire Central Platte Natural Resources District, falls into what they would term a phase one area. Anything that's up to 7.5 part per million nitrate, nitrogen, is in this area. And basically that just bans fall application on coarse textured soils in that area. So starting Monday, I guess farmers could fertilize in that area, but increasingly fewer and fewer are doing that just by date and more by our guidelines. The second phase is really the heart of the regulation and covers the largest area geographically. So this is an area that crosses the drinking water standard up to 15 part per million nitrate in. No, basically, fall application is allowed in this area. Farmers have to test annually. And primarily, this is soil testing for nitrate. And so this is a 2 to 3 foot sample that's required from a field. And this is according to the University of Nebraska guidelines. They also have to test irrigation water nitrate to use that resource as a credit in their fertilizer rates. If they are using manure, they have to analyze that and credit the manure in their recommendations, as well as legumes. Certification by the district. Early on, this was interesting. We would be, as educators, in a room with 100 farmers that didn't really want to be there. And they had to be there because of the requirement by the NRD that they had to go through the certification process. That has changed over the years. It's not confrontational any longer. It's many cases an online test that the farmer can go through every 4 years, or attendance at meetings that would qualify for educational purposes also certify them in this process. Irrigation is very much part of what occurs in crop production in this part of the state, and so fertilizer rate is not the driver necessarily for concern about nitrate. Over-irrigation is every much as part of that concern as maybe over-application of fertilizer. So in these areas, farmers have to measure how much irrigation water they apply to the field as well as the fertilizer. And then every year they've had to report to the district all of these things, what they did, what they measured on the field. And that has turned out to be a vast resource for being able to document impacts of these practices in the district. The phase three area is just the more contaminated areas of the district that farmers basically have to split apply or use an inhibitor if they're doing pre-plant application. Now, by regulation, the district has a fourth phase where they can tell a farmer how much fertilizer they can use. But the district has not chosen to go that route yet. They view that as a regulatory nightmare when they're trying to check up on what farmers have actually done on every field, and really not necessarily the heart of the reason why we need to be doing this. So that capacity is there, but it's not been implemented. Now, as part of the SEED project, we've done some intensive exploration of these trends from the district database. This is the kind of the area of the district that is most heavily contaminated with groundwater. These points are the majority of the irrigation wells in this part of the district, not every well, but the majority of the ones that were reported. And the darker the shading, the higher the nitrate concentrations. This is in 1989. And this is the geographic extent in 2002. If you were to look closely at these, you would see some diminishing extent of the really severely impacted levels of where nitrate is really high. And if we look district-wide at the trends, they're very positive. These are the average nitrate concentrations in irrigation water and soil residual nitrate as reported by farmers to the district every year. So these are documentable trends in the reduction of groundwater nitrate because of the implementation of the practices that are encouraged either by education or regulation. And we'll note that we're still not anywhere near what our goal would be. We're still around 15 part per million on average for nitrate concentration in these district areas, but still the trend is positive. What is concerning, though, is that not everywhere is that the case, and I'll get into that in a little more detail. One of the assets that we do have from this database that the district has is real information on trends of what farmers are doing. This particular trend is the average rate of what farmers are applying versus what the recommended rate is. Now, the Natural Resource District recommendation is basically the University of Nebraska recommendation. It's a soil test-based recommendation using expected yield from the historic records of the farmer. And in general, we do see that the trends for what the recommendation is and what farmers are actually doing still are not what we'd like to see them be. They're coming closer together here as time has gone by, but in some cases, farmers are still applying enough that they feel buffered against those years where they really have top yield potential and want to preserve that opportunity. These are their yields, their expected yield, what they would use in calculating their fertilizer rate, and what the actual yield is. These trends have been interesting, just a very pretty much a static expected yield for 10 or 15 years, and then gradually increasing over the last 8 or 10. They are coming closer together, so the expected yield and actual yields are we're seeing being as more realistically perceived. Something that farmers are using more science-based recommendations rather than what they did last year or what their neighbor is doing. Now, I started with a graph of nitrogen use efficiency statewide. This is NU's efficiency when we look at it county by county. A lot more scatter to this data. Merrick County is in the heart of this area. It's probably the real problem. Very shallow groundwater. It's not uncommon for the groundwater to be 6 to 10 feet below the soil surface. Very intensively irrigated. Phelps County is a county outside of the Central Platte Valley. Again, very heavily irrigated with a lot of continuous corn. Production practices are very similar. But we've seen over time that nitrogen use efficiency for Merrick County has fallen well below what we're seeing in Phelps County and other parts of the state. And in fact, parts of Merrick County we see continuing to have a trend for increasing nitrate concentrations in groundwater. And so that's troubling. On average, we can see that farmers are doing things better and better. But when we get more localized, we see that there are situations, for whatever reasons, that that's not happening. So that's been the focus of some of our survey work and our recent educational work, is to look in more depth at local practices and how those practices match the soil and water aquifer conditions and how we might be able to further educate or perhaps eventually regulate. So as part of the SEA project in March 2008, we did an in-depth survey of the entire district, not just the target watershed for the SEA project. We actually sent out 6,000 surveys. We had 600 returned, so not a large return percentage-wise, but the majority of them were in the area that we really wanted to target. So we have a fairly decent population from which, or a sample of our population. Majority of this area is irrigated, about 80%. Mostly, it's about evenly split between center pivot and furrow irrigation. One asset that we have in Nebraska, I think generally as an asset, is that there is fairly extensive use of advisory capacity. A majority of farmers in this part of the state will have some access to advice from crop consultants or extension. And when they are using that, they use those recommendations on the majority of their land. There are some practices that we found to be very highly adopted, and that was encouraging because they were required by regulation to be adopted. So 90% of farmers are soil sampling, 70% are doing deep sampling for residual nitrate. Majority of the time they're using consultants or fertilizer dealers to do that sampling. And most commonly they're doing that on a whole field basis. We would encourage they break fields into subsets to analyze those samples in more detail, but there is a growing trend for more precise management, and that's something I'll address here in a little bit. One of the things that we did do as part of this survey was retain the capacity to look at this data spatially. And this analysis is not complete. We're still in process of doing this, but we felt it would be very interesting to look at the overlay of where nitrate levels are stable or increasing versus those areas that are stable or decreasing, and compare that to the practices that are in place by producers geographically. So these are a couple of maps. The top one is the intensity of grid soil sampling. The bottom is the furrow to center pivot conversion. Two practices that we would be encouraging producers to consider to use fertilizers more efficiently or irrigation water in the second case. We find that here in this part of the district, this is Merrick County, there is a very intense adoption of site-specific management, grid sampling, and I'll talk later about variable rate application of fertilizer. We are seeing adoption of center pivot where that fits into the fields, conversion from furrow to center pivot, which greatly increases their water use efficiency and at the same time starts to decrease nitrate loss to groundwater. Irrigation water is tested by about half the producers. This is district-wide. Keep in mind that in phase two and three areas, they have to test. So this is probably about the ratio that it should be. In the phase one areas, they do not have to test, but we still encourage them to do so. But on average, farmers are using about 30 pounds per acre nitrate in credit out of the irrigation water, taking that credit off of the fertilizer that they would apply. UAN solution is the most common fertilizer form, followed by anhydrous ammonia. And almost a fourth of the farmers in the entire district are using some form of site-specific nutrient management for nitrogen, which is encouraging and I think a growing trend. So if we look at that spatially, we see that variable rate fertilizer application is practiced particularly here in this part of Merrick County, and then to some degree more heavily here out in Dawson County and parts of Hall County. The second graph is a map of the end credit for nitrate and irrigation water, and we do find that coincides fairly directly with the contamination. So in the central and eastern parts of the valley where nitrate levels are higher, the end credits from irrigation water are higher as well. Some troubling concerns, though, are things that we see in a change in practice. In 1997, we did a very similar survey of producer practice, and about 12%, not a large number, but 12% of producers were using nitrification inhibitors at that time. Today, much fewer are using, I think I have those numbers, about a third of them used those practices in 1997, only 12% do today. And we think that's primarily related to the conversion of fertilizer source. There's been a continuing trend towards in-solution away from ammonia, and the opportunity to use inhibitors has been less there historically. Only 6% of producers in the entire district have had the use of a controlled-release fertilizer. We see that as something that's growing, but still not anywhere near the level that we would like to see. We do find producers using legume credits when they have the opportunity, either for soybean or alfalfa, would be the two primary legumes in the district. These are graphs of those practices, either use of inhibitors or the use of legume credits. We do find that inhibitor use is heavy right here in the central part of the valley. We think that a number of these practices are strongly influenced by dealer capacity. So probably in this area, we will find that there are dealers that are providing the support for the use of nitrification inhibitors. The same way with some of the practices for site-specific crop management in Merrick County, there are dealers there that have the capacity to do variable rate application or who are providing the soil sampling support. legume end credits we find particularly heavily weighted towards the western part of the district. And this is an interesting correlation, we think, with the trends in nitrate and groundwater. This area historically has had much more alfalfa production. And alfalfa is not fertilized, and so the nitrate levels in groundwater are less. The nitrate, the aquifer is also much deeper as we go farther west, so the risk of contamination or the rate of contamination is less than it is farther east. But because they're raising more alfalfa here in the west, the credits that they give for legumes are higher than what we have farther east. Now, if we look at where we are today, this is a map, and probably these colors may be a little hard to see, but we have concentrations here that are mapped up to 40 part per million, and it's not unusual to find wells that are at that level or even higher. And those tend to concentrate here to the east of Kearney, west of Grand Island, and then much of Merrick County is the highest area of contamination. These are concentrations reported by farmers in 2009. So district-wide, we've seen a trend for decreasing nitrate concentrations, but here locally, we find areas that continue to be high or are getting higher. And so we're looking at those trends here in nitrate concentrations and looking at the maps of practices and are attempting to use that information to look at overlaying those layers and targeting then areas within the district that we need to educate more directly. It becomes a bit of a challenge. Some of these areas may be small enough and targeted enough, you're dealing with almost individuals. And we don't want to come across as calling somebody out as not being a good steward. But just because of their soil and aquifer environments, they may be doing what they think are some of the best things they can do and still not making the progress that they need to be making. We do see some encouraging trends in terms of practices, and much of my research and extension educational efforts are directed towards site-specific crop management. And so these are trends of what growers are doing now or what they may anticipate doing in 5 years in terms of adoption of some site-specific crop management practices. We see some things are fairly heavily adopted. Yield monitoring and mapping are used by many producers and will be used by more in the future. Grid soil sampling, if we take these at heart, probably basically all farmers are going to be doing some type of spatial soil sampling within 5 years. Other practices that are on the horizon but not really adopted much, we're not seeing much adoption of remote sensing or the use of canopy sensors. But farmers are thinking that those are technologies that 5 years from now, yes, I might like to be using those. They're watching progress and research and the availability of those services and starting to think about how they might use them. I do a fair amount of research and then educational efforts on how emerging technologies can be used to increase nitrogen use efficiency. And one thing that we've been looking at in recent years are two things, I guess, crop canopy sensors and then the use of enhanced efficiency fertilizers. And a couple of graphs from studies we've had here in Merrick County on coarse textured soils looking at the use of controlled release or slow release fertilizers. Both last year and this year, we have seen that our standard source and practice used by many growers in the valley, this is a UAN fertilizer applied at planting on a sandy soil, gives us much less yield response than some of our controlled or slow release fertilizers. In this case, this is a polymer coated urea fertilizer achieving 10 to 15 to 20% greater yield depending on the N rate under those conditions where the potential for N loss is high. So in summary, in this part of Nebraska at least, we have seen that there's been a history of a combination of education and regulation over about 20 years now that has had some impact. There are real trends for decreasing nitrate levels in groundwater. But we see that there are localized areas that that's not happening. Trends are stable or else they're going up. We do find that there is some correlation between the adoption of our recommended practices and these declines in groundwater concentrations. That's affected both by regulation, education, and then in some cases just the availability of those services. I think it's our perception that the adoption of current BMPs have had perhaps the extent of the impact that we're going to have in terms of increasing end-use efficiency, and that the next step in terms of significant changes in efficiency are going to have to occur with adoption of some of the newer technologies, such as the use of canopy sensors or controlled release fertilizers. With that, I will stop, Matt, and if we have time, take any questions.
3 minutes for questions.
Paul.
Richard, you showed some partial factor productivities of around 100, if I remember correctly. Do you know what recovery efficiencies are associated with those partial factor productivities?
No, I don't. Most of those data points are reported from an integration of federal and local databases that it's harder to calculate recovery efficiency. We can on our research studies where we look at end uptake in both crop biomass yield and in grain, but it's a little harder from the databases that I've used to report this.
So what are you getting in your plot work then in that region when you've got things as an output?
Yeah. Well, you're probably fairly familiar with what work that Occam Doberman and we've reported. When we do things as best we can, even in very high yield conditions, we can get recovery efficiency 70-80%, where we're using everything that we can in the best way that we can. Yes?
How is the UAN being applied? Banded, broadcast?
Yeah, that's a problem. UAN application is a problem because it's so easy to broadcast it. And with the growth of no-till production, the loss potential for broadcast UAN is just high. Now there's options to mitigate that with inhibitors. We find they're not widely adopted yet. We do have the advantage though in parts of the valley, in parts of broader of Nebraska, that there is a fair amount of fertigation going on with UAN as well. And we do find that to be very efficient when we're applying the fertilizer just at the time that the crop is needing it. We do have safeguards in place to prevent backflow contamination of wells. The risk to groundwater is very low through fertigation, and the efficiencies are higher. Cliff.
Have you done any economic analysis of those comparative management practices to help encourage farmers to further adopt them? What do the economics show?
Yes. Good question. The economics of these practices, I didn't report here, but we document those all the time. Accounting for the credits for nitrate in the soil and irrigation water and doing our process using our algorithm, which uses an expected yield goal, but is also very significantly including those credits, it can easily pay for the accounting process. The soil sampling, the irrigation water testing, those quickly come back in terms of gains, in terms of profit by using those practices.
Go ahead and stop it there. If Richard, would you be here for the discussion?
I will.
Yeah. So if there's any other questions.